Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond. A podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. US industrialist and business magnate Henry Ford once said, "Anyone who stops learning is old, whether at 20 or 80. Anyone who keeps learning stays young. The greatest thing in life is to keep your mind young." And in today's world, this is absolutely vital. I've mentioned the importance of lifelong learning in previous episodes, but what does lifelong learning actually entail? In the past, people used to get their school leaving qualifications, maybe get a degree, and then think that their education was over. The time had come to go out and work. Life was much more predictable. It was a question of learning, working, often at the same company throughout one's life, and then retiring. But this has all changed. The pace of disruption in the workplace means that people have to be adaptable and agile. They'll have to learn, unlearn and relearn, and often repeat this cycle many times. Yet this doesn't mean we just need to gain more knowledge. Nor is the answer solely getting new skills, as the skills we need today are not those that we might need tomorrow. Lifelong learning also entails cultivating the right mindset. Author Seth Godin wrote in a blog post in May 2019, "Lifelong learning is the mindset of possibility. It's built on the idea that we can grow if we simply show up ready to learn. Lifelong learning is never finished, and achieving the mindset isn't easy, because the existing bias towards competence makes it socially unattractive. It requires us to acknowledge that we don't know enough on our way to learning more. So it's about readiness to learn, as well as self-awareness." Erica Anderson writes about this in more detail in her 2016 article, Learning to Learn, in the Harvard Business Review. She describes lifelong learning as follows. "I'm not talking about relaxed armchair or even structured classroom learning. I'm talking about resisting the bias against doing new things, scanning the horizon for growth opportunities, and pushing yourself to acquire radically different capabilities while still performing your job. That requires a willingness to experiment and become a novice again and again, an extremely discomforting notion for most of us." After having spent decades working with executives across a range of industries, she and her team identified four specific attributes that those who are good at this kind of learning have: aspiration, self-awareness, curiosity, and vulnerability. She explains that these people truly want to understand and master new skills. They see themselves very clearly, they constantly think of and ask good questions, and they tolerate their own mistakes as they move up the learning curve. What's more, she also believes that these attributes can be learned and are not fixed. The first one, aspiration, is something that people frequently think is fixed. You either want to learn something or you don't. But this isn't the case. It's all a question of how we channel our thoughts. Often when we're faced with a new system, program, or way of doing something, our initial response is negative and might well be a reaction to why we shouldn't have to do it. We can all remember a time when we've behaved like this, no matter in which field we work. Reactions such as, "There's nothing wrong with the old system," or "It'll take too much time," are very common. In so doing, we're focusing on the negative aspects of the change. Yet, if we're keen to try, we're more likely to focus on the positive aspects. So what we might learn, how much time we'll save in the long run, and so forth. And in fact, research has shown that focusing on the benefits of a particular change, rather than the challenges or the negative side of things, is a good way to increase your desire or aspiration to do it. Self-awareness is crucial. The ability to know which skills we have, which ones we need to work on, what we know and what we don't. But this is also something that we have to learn. We're not always automatically good at judging this. Yet it's extremely important. As Anderson explains, "I found that the people who evaluate themselves most accurately start the process inside their own heads. They accept that their perspective is often biased or flawed and then strive for greater objectivity, which leaves them much more open to hearing and acting on others' opinions. The trick is to pay attention to how you talk to yourself about yourself and then question the validity of that self-talk. The third attribute is curiosity, which is, of course, at the root of all learning. Unfortunately, it's something that some people lose over the course of their lifetime. It can be stifled at school or at work as people are expected to perform. Anderson has found that great learners retain it. Instead of focusing on initial disinterest in something new, they ask themselves curious questions, which they then act upon. So rather than thinking that something is boring, they might ask themselves the question, "What if I could?" And of course, this is exactly what inventors do. This is why open questions such as how, why, I wonder, are so crucial to keep this spark alive. Interestingly, the final attribute the researchers identified is vulnerability. If we're generally good at things, we seldom want to accept that we're not good at other things. In school, in the workplace, we're encouraged to play to our strengths, and so the thought of not mastering something, potentially for a longer period of time, can be quite frightening. Anderson explains, great learners allow themselves to be vulnerable enough to accept that beginner state. In fact, they become reasonably comfortable in it by managing their self-talk. This is exactly the point that Seth Godin is making. The way we talk to ourselves, our self-talk, is at the root of how we go about learning and being open to learn. And this is something that we cannot start practicing early enough. How attitudes to lifelong learning are being transformed. The role of the CLO, the Chief Learning Officer in organisations, is also rapidly changing. CLOs are transforming the way people learn by reshaping the capabilities and culture within organisations. Research by Abby Lundberg of Lundberg Media and George Westerman, a senior lecturer at MIT's Sloan School of Management, has shown that so-called transformer CLOs are precipitating change in their organisations in three key ways. In a 2020 article for the Harvard Business Review, they explain, they're transforming their organization's learning goals, shifting the focus from the development of skills to the development of mindsets and capabilities that will help workers perform well now and adapt smoothly in the future. They're transforming their organization's learning methods, making them more experiential and immediate, and atomizing content for delivery when and where it's needed. And they're transforming their organization's learning departments, making them leaner, more agile, and more strategic. Lundberg and Westerman stress that organisations should cultivate every employee's ability to learn and grow. It's not enough to just focus on those at the top, but if widespread change is to be accomplished, everyone needs to be involved. A key component is also concentrating on developing the right kind of mindsets and behaviours, and not just focusing on gaining the skills that are needed now. This will enable employers to be able to do future tasks that may not yet be defined. They point out that this shift may also mean moving away from comprehensive skills inventories and competency maps, which can lead people to check boxes rather than build capabilities. This is, of course, exactly what we also need to be doing in schools, especially as far as digital literacy is concerned. Having a checklist or media passport in which students tick off what they can do is not going to help them in the long run. It leads them to believe that this is something that only needs to be learned once and can then be done. The problem is the digital sphere is constantly developing and providing new challenges. So instead of focusing on ticking a box, we need to help students to develop the right mindset and behaviours, such as questioning and critical thinking, so that they'll be able to navigate the digital world in the future. Lifelong learning is a cumulative process. This means that the foundations need to be laid early on, already in school. As we've seen, helping students to develop a healthy self-awareness, to learn to reflect on their own learning and abilities is key. Encouraging them to keep a learning diary, to reflect on what they've already learned, what they need to work on, is something that needs to be promoted right from the beginning. At the same time, we need to support students in the belief that they can improve. As I've talked about in depth in a previous episode, it's not a question of, I can do this, but I can't do this. Carol Dweck, professor of psychology at Stanford University, has conducted pioneering research in the field of motivation and growth mindset. She believes that it's important to change the narrative from, I can't, to not yet. Instead of closing a door by saying, I can't, not yet gives you something to work towards, to aim for. It gives you purpose. To enable students to be able to do so, she also stresses the importance of creating an environment in which they're not afraid of making mistakes, a place where they can show their vulnerability, where they're encouraged to try and receive constructive feedback from people who believe in them. The OECD Skills Outlook 2021, Learning for Life, presents, among other things, six lifelong learning attitudes that reflect the main traits that people display who show a greater tendency to engage in lifelong learning. Number one is a sense of belonging to the school community. This raises the question of how we can do so, and key here is to involve students in the discussion. What could be done to make them feel part of their school community? Number two, the value of school, so the relevance students attribute to school for their future professional careers. This would make for an interesting discussion with students to see what relevance they feel it has and how this could be improved. The third is motivation to master tasks, a student's commitment to work hard and improve performance. Of course, as we all know, we need to ensure that the tasks have an appropriate level of difficulty, so students need to be stretched a little, but not over or understretched. The fourth is ambitious learning goals, students' ambition to learn and understand as much as possible. Again, this is not a matter of one size fits all. Each student needs to reflect on what this means for them. I've seen this in some schools in the UK where students have a personal achievement goal or challenge grade that reflects what they and their teacher think they're capable of attaining. Thus, even if they're not yet capable of attaining an A grade in a test, if they get a C grade and that's their challenge grade, they'll have a sense of achievement, and this will help to create a feeling of self-efficacy. It's not just about getting to the top grade, but the process of getting there is important too, thus reinforcing the idea of not yet. The fifth attribute is self-efficacy, so students' ability to overcome difficulties on their own. Interestingly, as Albert Bandura, the Canadian-American psychologist who coined the term, said, among the mechanisms of human agency, none is more central or pervasive than people's belief in their efficacy to influence events that affect their lives. This core belief is the foundation of human inspiration, motivation, performance accomplishments, and emotional well-being. And finally, the last attribute is enjoyment of reading, the satisfaction students obtain from learning and reading. Thus, as you're all well aware, as teachers of English, the importance of finding the right books to engage students to help them develop a lifelong love of reading. The OECD report found that students who displayed these attributes and dispositions not only tended to perform better at school, but also developed higher educational and career expectations than those with weaker attitudes. These attitudes are also generally carried over into adulthood and form a strong basis for lifelong learning. In his 1970 book, Future Shock, US writer and futurist Alvin Toffler prophetically wrote, by instructing students how to learn, unlearn and relearn, a powerful new dimension can be added to education. Tomorrow's illiterate will not be the man who can't read. He will be the man who's not learned how to learn. Thus, learners need to discover the power of not yet, to develop self-awareness, embrace vulnerability, and perhaps most importantly, to unlearn their fear of failure. Thanks for listening.
Teaching English Today, The Four C's and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gerch was brought to you by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.